that she had, you know, met a rector at the base.
Through our podcast, you're going to get some really insightful information.
You think so?
I do.
I think we have a suspicious avatar here, though. What do you think?
Yeah.
Where's the avatar cops?
One option is the planes and the ensuing fire brought the buildings down, which, I mean, the thing that blows my mind the most about the Iran-Contra affair, conspiracy, again.
Coming to you simultaneously from the center of the universe and deep in the heart of nowhere, AboveTopSecret.com presents the 2 out of 3 Amigos Conspiracy Show with your host, the Skeptic Overlord and Springer.
And now, prepare your tinfoil hats, align your ciphers, engage your cone of silence, lock your bunkers, and switch proxy servers. The 2 out of 3 Amigos.
Yeah, we're back. Oh, man.
It's a miracle. We lived. We're still here. 2006, we're going to make you ill.
So it's the 2 out of 3 Amigos returning again on Friday the 13th. What about that, huh?
It's our lucky day, man.
Of course, we had to pick Friday the 13th to return to podcasting. Why not?
Well, it'll show, I'm certain.
So here it is, January 13th, 2006. And it's been, what, it's been about a month.
Oh, God, at least.
Since our last podcast. I was taking a similar hiatus with my Skeptic Overview. But what's your excuse?
I'm just a lazy slob.
A drunken lazy slob.
A drunken lazy slob.
That's what. Now that Valhalla is in the moderator's forum, we get all the good stuff about Mark.
Oh, I know. I got to tell her to quit doing that.
Drunken lazy slob was. There's a thread about with that title.
Oh my God! Words out. I don't even think we did one in December, Bill. Did we?
Didn't we do the Iran-Contra in early December?
I thought that was late November, Thanksgiving-ish. Whatever and however, we're back.
We're really sharpening on the ball here.
Yep.
So, anyway, we're going to continue with a similar format tonight where we're going to cover two conspiracy-themed topics and then just yuck it up a bit, as usual, and maybe even get into a little bit about what's going on the board. But generally, podcast work and the things go on here is Mark will talk for a little while and then I'll interrupt him. And
yeah. Wait a minute. The most important question.
What's
Bill,
that?
What are you drinking tonight?
I've already had a complete bottle of Bellhaven waiting for you to stop watching Battlestar Galactica so that we can get to this.
If only I could watch it in my sleep. If I could smoke cigarettes and watch Battlestar Galactica in my sleep, my life would be complete.
Well, there you go.
I just haven't figured it out yet.
If only we all had those goals in life,
yeah,
it would be much simpler.
Hey, a man's got to realize his limitations and then live up to them.
So
anyway, Bellhaven, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's gone. I'm gonna have to.
You only had one.
It's a strong and not inexpensive beer.
He was not prepared, people.
No, I was prepared. I just couldn't wait any longer.
I expect thousands of emails about
this. It's 11:30 here for me. I couldn't wait any longer. I just had to.
Yeah, Friday night, 11:30. Oh, it's so late. I got to go to bed. Yes, I love him.
I'm looking for the cricket sound effect, and I don't have it queued up.
All right, so I'm going to yuck it up. You're going to interrupt me, and then what's going to happen?
So what are we covering tonight, Mr. Mark?
Well, you actually came up with a great, not only is it a great thread, but it's a hell of a story, or I guess a hell of a point in history. ATS presents, in all of its greatness, Project Northwoods, America's Plan to Attack America. And this is a serious and real, fortunately never executed, plot that our government had that has incredible ties to what actually transpired on 9/11/2001. And then we're going to cover this. We're going to go back to when we touched on the last either the last one or the one before, Project Serpo. There's been some new wrinkles in the fabric that I want to go over.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, it will be.
So as Mark mentioned, we're actually going to cover a topic that has been around a while. It first was discussed on ATS way back in July of 2003, actually. And but now that we have this whole podcast thing going on, it's a good idea to resurrect some of these older, more interesting topics. And it appeared on the board recently and also on a few other websites recently. So it's returned back into the awareness, if you will. This story... Well, first I want to caution everyone. If you get sick when troubling history repeats itself, stop listening now. Go away.
Tune out.
You're not going to like this.
Run away.
I'm serious. So, as we know, the attacks of 9/11 have sparked a firestorm of conspiracy speculation, the likes of which we simply haven't seen since Watergate and Iran-Contra. At a minimum, there are dozens of anecdotal pieces of information that would cause the average person to at least question some aspects of the official story. But at a maximum, there are glaring holes, misleading stories, and missing pieces of data that cause we conspiracy theorists to conclude the U.S. government must have been involved in planning and executing the events of 9/11.
Had to be.
But, you know, the average person will sit back and go, wait a minute, that's hogwash. How could our government ever plan or even consider planning such a horrible thing?
Why, they'd never discuss it even.
No, never.
Never.
If only that were true. As it turned out, they did.
Oh, boy, did they.
Yes. Back in 1962... the Joint Chiefs of Staff, led by Chairman, I can't pronounce this guy's name, Lemnitzer, delivered to Defense Secretary Robert McNamara at the time a plan called Operation Northwoods. The plan detailed a systematic sequence of fabricated claims, events, and attacks on U.S. citizens, and even a domestic terror campaign in Miami, Florida, all coordinated by American covert operations. The plan and the end game was to justify a military action and war against Cuba.
Hit the alarm. Does this sound familiar?
The plan reads like it's a preliminary script for this decade.
Exactly.
It's just amazing.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, when you stop to think that our government, you know, and granted, it never got past the discussion phase, as far as we know.
Well, it got to the point where it was an official document recommendation by the Joint Chiefs of Staff presented to the Secretary of Defense. That's pretty far along.
Yeah. The wild part of this, and the part that struck me when I first read it, and I commented about it in our thread, and we will have a link to this thread and anything else we discuss in the podcast forum, by the way, at www.abovetopsecret.com/forum.
You're such a traffic whore.
I am a traffic whore. Just talk to my pimp daddy, Huggy Bale. Anyway, the part that struck me was, my God, you know, the similarities to exactly what transpired on 9/11 are one thing. But the part that really got me in the head, between the eyes, whatever little cliche you want to put to that, was the impetus behind the plan was to justify invading another country.
Well, and we certainly have that happening now, don't we? Where we've found a way to justify invading another country. And let me read sort of the preamble or the executive summary of the document. And what we'll do when the podcast is finished, we're going to create a lot of links to all of this material so our members and anyone listening to this podcast can go to the pod thread. But it starts out, subject, justification for the U.S. military intervention in Cuba. This is dated March 1962. The Joint Chiefs of Staff have considered the attached memorandum for the Chief of Operations Cuba Project, which responds to a request of that office for brief but precise description of pretexts, which would provide justification for U.S. military intervention in Cuba. pretext that would provide justification for invading another country. It reads on to cover a number of things, one of which is blowing up a military vessel in Guantanamo Bay. And if they have to use servicemen in the vessel to make it convincing, they will.
Sure they will.
Well, they make it clear in the document that they would.
Oh, I know it. You know, it really... Go ahead.
No. You can interrupt me this time.
No, I want to stay the victim in this
relationship. You
want to
stay the hapless victim, don't you? No, go ahead.
Seriously, I mean, you know, when you hear conspiracy theories in general, when you hear the, I think the term that has surfaced now is the shill, S-H-I-L-L. That's a new name. It may not be a new name, but it's new to me, which, of course, doesn't mean anything either. But, you know, when you hear people that rant and rave about conspiracy theories and you know, the people that are the true believers, in spite of evidence to the contrary, they will take to their grave their heartfelt belief in this particular conspiracy or that particular conspiracy, you know, it kind of makes you go, yeah, these people as a group are kind of goofy. But then when something like this comes up and you're looking at the, by God, scanned image of a federal government document that made it all the way to Bob McNamara at that level of the executive branch, and you read what's written in this thing in the context of the current, you know, situation of the world that we live in and U.S. foreign policy, it absolutely chills me. It's a chill shill, man. I mean, it blew my mind when I read this thing.
Yeah, and I've actually heard of this. And by the way, this...
I haven't.
Well, this has been covered on ATS on a few threads dating all the way back to 2003, like I said. So it's something, from a topic standpoint, we've brushed up against. But, you know, poor old Skeptic Overlord. I tend to be too busy making things run and not enough time reading stuff like this.
Well, here's something that I bet, you know, the average person listening to this pod thread, which we know now we have 8 listeners, so... One of those 8 people is an average guy.
Well, we may have lost one because we haven't been doing this.
Yeah, we probably did. We probably only have 4 now. But regardless, I would venture to say that it would be a safe bet that the average guy or gal walking the street, if you walked up to him and said, have you ever heard of Project Northwoods, the blank stare on their face would be all the answer you needed. You know, just it nobody knows about this stuff. And when it's put in the context of a conspiracy theory or on a site like AboveTopSecret.com or you know, any of the other...
crazy wackos.
Yeah, exactly. People go, you know, those people are all nuts. Well, you know what, folks? This is real. This actually happened. There's no denying it. And
well, here's how real it is. On page 12 of this document, they're talking about staging... a fake terror camp. Well, not so fake because they're using real bombs.
Right.
But staging what appears to be a terror campaign brought about by Cubans in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
So our government is putting about a plan.
Yeah.
Has put about a plan, rather, to place bombs in our own cities.
Do the words collateral damage have any meaning here? I mean, my God.
Here's another strange thing from this document. That struck me as just, I'm reading current events in a 40-year-old document is really what I was looking at. And one of the common conspiracy theories surrounding 9/11 is the idea that perhaps these commercial airlines were replaced with either drones or another precisely identical aircraft that was piloted by someone more expert than the hijackers.
Right. And only a loon would say that, right, Bill?
Right. Only a loon would say that because
the
reason that it has become a conspiracy theory idea is because that the maneuver in Washington to circle around and hit that precise side of the Pentagon is not something for the inexperienced pilot.
Wouldn't think so.
No. So if you look at this document... They're talking about taking a passenger airline, replacing it in flight with a drone or remote control airline that they can control, flying it over Cuba, shooting it down, and blaming the Cubans.
Yep. absolutely mind-boggling. You know, and even beyond that, just to look at the big picture of this plan and the potentially thousands of U.S. citizens that would have been killed, murdered, whatever word you want to put.
Servicemen, citizens. They're talking about blowing up a military vessel in Guantanamo Bay. It's not just citizens.
Right, and then placing bombs in Miami, Florida.
Right.
I mean, for Christ's sake. You know, I've been to Miami, I don't know, 20 times in my life. And I mean, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Miami is rocking. You go down by South Beach and Bell Harbor and that area, Collins Boulevard, the great, you know, hard shell crabs and the Art Deco buildings. That place jams about 20 hours a day. So, you know, to think that our government actually considered that the annihilation of, you know, even if it was 10 U.S. citizens, civilians in Miami, if they only got 10 of them, that is an astounding thought that the average American cannot wrap their mind around. So I'm one of them.
Yes.
Or I was until I read this.
Yes. It's incredible. So
it is.
We read these documents, and like I said, there will be a link to the actual document and some other supporting material in the thread for this podcast. And it really does read, and if you've been paying attention, it really does read like a preliminary script for the events of this decade. And one of the alarming things about this whole thing is you sit back and you wonder what really has been going on as we have the benefit of hindsight now. An expose in a book came out about this document in the spring of 2001. Some months before the attack on 9/11, did someone know there was planning going on, and they tried to get this out as a clue that there was a plan in place to relive Project Northwoods in a different light?
You know, it begs the question, and I think that to all Americans, you know, this it maybe not as dramatic as a wake up call, but for sure. Maybe everybody wants to step back a pace and relook and rethink their position on, you know, how clean and pure our government is. Going back to the 60s. Now, we're not talking about a 1980s or a 1990s government in a new world with all these bizarre complications and terrorism and everything else. We're talking about 1960s United States government.
It was just us and the communists.
Sure. It was
cut and dry.
Yeah, exactly. And the willingness, the absolute, just total lack of concern for the American citizen as far as if we got to kill a couple hundred or a thousand of them, it's no big deal if the plan works.
Right.
It just fogs my mind.
And there's a lot of rumors, really not rumors, actually, as I think about it. The speculation is that Kennedy caught wind of this and similar plans of the CIA and other covert branches of the government, and he was trying to put a stop to it and even disband the CIA, and that sparked the assassination.
Right. I mean, there is so much behind this and several other, you know, situations that have arisen in the past that you just have to wonder.
So, Operation Northwoods
Northwoods.
Interesting slice of history, and stop by AboveTopSecret.com. I'll set it up so that all you need to do is type in www.AboveTopSecret.com/Northwoods, and you will come right to the page that contains this podcast and the links to everything you'll need to know.
Absolutely worth looking at. If you're an American citizen alive today, you need to read this.
So, shifting gears from covert operations to covert operations.
Yeah, interstellar covert operations.
What have you got for us, Mark?
Well, I've got a deal, the Serpo Project. And this popped up, and I know we touched on it briefly in one of our past Two Out of Three Amigos podcasts on www.AboveTopSecret.com. And the Serpo Project, at first blush, looks like just another internet hoax. You know, great story. Some pretty good backup. You've got the classic routine here, and I'll run it down real fast. You've got an anonymous poster. Okay, this person who absolutely cannot reveal their identity at the risk of their, you know, at the peril of dying at the hands of the nefarious intel of the United States and potentially most of the free world governance of the world. This person claims that they have been a part of, involved with an alien exchange program where 12 American soldiers were literally transported to a planet in the Zeta Reticuli, Zeta Reticuli star cluster, and spent several years.
Pronunciation of that, by the way.
Thank you very much. It's my fine Texas upbringing. But you know, the short end of the story is that we have actually not only interacted with, but we sent 12 emissaries from the United States to live on their planet with them and learn of their society and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Fantastic sounding story, isn't it?
Well, you said it was an exchange program. What did we get?
Evidently, we got two of theirs for about a month.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, man, we need an alien in every home to help with chores.
I'm telling you. Well, I mean, picture yourself coming from Zeta Reticuli. You know, the utopia. Because remember, anytime there's an alien civilization going, they're so far advanced that they have a utopian experience. Why would they want to hang out here?
Why would they want us over there?
There's my next question.
Why do they want any of our guys shitting in their pond over there in Zeta Reticuli?
Now, here's some of the fascinating parts of this are yet to come, but you know, at first blush, you can blow this thing off looking at the data and everything else. The interesting part of this for me is I had a long conversation this morning with an attorney who has become a friend of ours who has gotten involved in this thing. And this particular attorney is an expert in copyright and media and specifically kind of focused on the internet. So you can imagine now he's also with one of the largest firms on the planet. So he has tons of resources. And this particular individual intimated to me that the anonymous character, if nothing else, has been able to defeat this particular person's ability to track people down. That's an interesting point in and of itself, in my mind at least, that this guy has never failed to figure out, ultimately find out who sent an email or, you know, who posted what, where, when, and how. But this singular anonymous individual on this singular story that is so incredible is impossible for this guy to find.
Well, it's John Teeter communicating from the future. That's why.
Yeah. That is their speculation on that. I mean, there's wild speculation going on around this story. The sad part of this deal is that the story was really hot. It was really going well through about December 15, December 16. And at that point, it pretty much died. And it's
what happened?
Why
did it die?
Well, there was a claim that, you know, photographs will be forthcoming.
Right.
And the photographs haven't come forth.
Is there a reason?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence on this deal in my mind.
I mean, has the voice piece of these people, has he intimated any reason why more information and especially the photographs are not forthcoming?
No, he hasn't. Which you know, goes either way. I mean, if I was committing a hoax, I would do my best to keep everybody on the hook and on the line until, you know, I did whatever it was I was going to do with the photographs. That intrigues me even more. This guy is just basically, if he doesn't have something to say that's going to forward the disclosure, if you will, then he says nothing. That impresses me.
Well, in your 17th phone call to me today,
18th,
I think you indicated why, at least you thought, that the photographs have not come out yet.
Absolutely. One, there's two possibilities in my mind. One is, and the most obvious one, it's a total hoax. And we have advanced so far as a community.
We being Above Top Secret.
We being www.abovetopsecret.com. The only place we're pointing your browser the planet.
Okay, that's too far.
Seriously, though,
back it up.
We and not only us have become proficient and efficient enough at blowing hoaxes out of the water that these people have actually gotten to the point where...
What? Did I say that?
Yeah. These guys have actually gotten to the point where it's time to put up or shut up, and they've decided to shut up because you really can't put up hokey photographs anymore and expect them to have a half-life more than about 5 minutes on the Internet.
Well, not only that, they've established a pretty complex backstory where...
Oh, yeah.
And it's all out there, and there's a number of ATS members that are now well-versed and expert in the backstory.
Oh, yeah.
So that if any photography shows up that doesn't support the backstory, they're shot.
Right. And I mean, you know, you look at our member base, and we've got everything from astrophysicists to aeronautical engineers to, well, I guess
to
me.
Knuckleheads who grew up in Buffalo.
And you. But seriously, though, I mean, the other that being the first possibility that it is a hoax and these guys have just gone, well, damn, you know, we're 5 minutes after we put these phony pictures up, we're going to be busted. The other speculation is, and this makes it even more interesting, is the Freedom of Information Act that was put on autopilot by Bill Clinton back in 95 or 96, somewhere around there.
One of the few good things that he actually did.
Yeah, no kidding. He signed into law, executive order number 1803-5629, or whatever the hell it was, that literally put a 25-year limit on classified U.S. government documentation, photographs, and everything else. Now, the only way that that 25-year automated or automatic release of information can be stopped is if the organization or government entity that classified it within 180 days of the automated release date steps up and says, okay, we can't release this particular information, and here's why. And there has to be a valid reason for it, and the release board has to agree the reason is valid, and then they will hold it back. So what's going on here is we're at the 25th anniversary this month, I think. I think it's like the 14th or 15th or 16th of January 2006 will be the 25th anniversary. So bada bing, bada boom.
Nice.
It's time to release. I mean, it's there's just so much surrounding
what
this.
Is released.
Right. Nothing's been released yet, but these guys are supposedly disclosing kind of on the sly and before, but they're really not letting any of the actual documentation out. They're just telling the story according to the way this thing goes. So my second option for the photographs is, you know, they weren't willing to put them out there until that date has come and passed. And I guess you can't find out if someone has contested the release until the date the release is supposed to happen. So in other words, maybe 178 days ago, the entity or the government agency that classified this material could have stepped up and said, okay, no automatic release on this stuff. It's too volatile or whatever. Well, we wouldn't know that until the date of actual release. When somebody went to look for it and wasn't there, they'd have to go, well, it was appealed, and we approved the appeal, and therefore we're not releasing it. So there's just a lot of interesting, if nothing else, circumstances surrounding this deal.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've remained a bit skeptical about this whole thing with Serpo.
Yeah.
And the related events, as I think you are too, but you seem to be more open to the possibility now since after the conversation with a friend of yours.
Yeah, I'm open to the possibility to the extent of that, you know, there's something here. I have a real hard time, I mean, like diamond hard time, believing that we sent 12 people to another planet in 1967.
With what sounds like limited supplies.
Yeah, 9,000 pounds of supplies for 12 years. I mean, just socks would take up.
I mean, underwear.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But, you know, there's just so much bizarre and interesting factoids and circumstances surrounding this whole thing. And the people involved I have a lot of respect for. To some degree.
Yeah, so do I.
And Yeah, I mean, this Bill Ryan gentleman, who actually put the website up, from all accounts, he is a logical, very, you know, courteous and grown up, and seems to be very centered human being, who's a Briton, so God knows we love him already. And
he's got an accent.
Yeah, and I truly believe he is the genuine messenger. I really do believe that. So even if this is a hoax, I believe Bill Ryan is not in it. And I do believe he is trying to be the genuine messenger and just present this for what it is.
So time will tell. Unfortunately, the tell may certainly happen on ATS, because Bill certainly seems to have found a comfortable place to talk about this project with the public here.
I agree. He was on a radio show, the Jerry Pippin Show, I guess last month, and very kindly Jerry Pippin has put a thread, and Bill, you know, introed that thread with, here, you know, I found a very good and logical discussion of this, and here's the link, yada, 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 and we really appreciate that, and we do.
Excellent.
So, there it is.
Shifting gears, I think it's a good time for you and I to wax poetic on what happened in 2005 in ATS.
Wow.
What a year.
Wow.
Let me sort of begin this part of the conversation by running down some raw numbers, if you will. We saw quite a surge in traffic heading into 2005 after November 2004 and the elections in the U.S., and throughout 2005, we regularly averaged 1.4 million unique visitors each month.
That's with an M.
Right, million. And for the year, we ended up with a total of just shy of 14 million unique visitors for the entire year, which is quite a lot for a site like us.
I know TV stations at which they had that.
Yes, right. But here's the incredible number that is going to blow your mind.
Blow my mind, baby.
You ready?
Bring it.
90 million. 90 million page views.
Wow.
In 2005 on a Bob Top Secret.
90 million page views.
That's correct.
In 1 year.
In 1 year.
Divided by 365, what is that? That's 300,000, no, 30,000 a day.
Don't ask me to do
that. Oh, my God, no. No, that's 90 million. Somebody out there with a calculator, figure that out and post it on our thread.
Right, that's the best way. somebody will figure that out. But it's a lot.
Wow.
Wow. And in that 90 million page views, how many unique pages do you think were viewed on Above Top Secret?
Oh, man. 30 million.
What?
30 million.
Okay, don't rely on Mark.
3,499,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
exists on ATS.
Oh, I thought you said how many unique page
yes,
views.
Yes, it's the same thing. I just said it so that you could understand it.
Well, thank you. My limited mental faculties need that. We appreciate it. I would say about a million, million five.
Million seven.
Million seven.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's an amazing testament to the amount of
we material. Have 1,700,000 unique pages.
Yes.
My God.
Now, that's amazing. I mean, it's not so hard to think how that could work out. And a lot of those pages, I'm sure, are instances where somebody just looked at a particular page once. But when you start thinking about the different ways you can sort the views of the forum displays,
sure,
and all the different pages, you know, some of the threads have multiple pages,
sure,
and you start adding up all the possibilities, and yeah, you get more than a million, and it's, you know, we're getting close to 2 million unique pages of content in
wow.
the domains.
God bless our members.
Right.
I mean, really, that's where it all comes from. And that's phenomenal.
So,
here's to ATS.
Right. Ka-chink. Ka-chink. So what stands out in your mind about 2005?
Well, I mean, obviously, for me personally, the biggest thing that happened was, you know, the Hollywood production company contacted us, and it turned out to be real.
Yeah, I remember when we first looked at that email. What are these guys up to?
Yeah, whatever. You guys want us to cough up $100,000 and make a TV show? I mean, you and I both really did at the beginning. We believed it was, you know, some hokey guy that, you know, whatever, wanted to.
Wanted maybe us to put knew up somebody some money to make a TV show, and maybe somebody
like a vanity press deal on video, right? Well, we both know that we were completely wrong,
right?
And I think that above and beyond anything else for me personally was the biggest testament or the biggest flattery of what our membership is capable of doing. I mean, you know, it's just not every day in your life that a real major production company contacts you and says, you know what, I really am interested in and appreciate what you've done, and to the point that I think we could make a TV show out of that. That's something that it's never happened in my life before. Has it ever happened in yours?
Well, this would be the third time.
The third time?
No.
Aren't you a stud?
No, this is the first time for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's a long, drawn-out process, and I knew it would be, and that's fine. And you know, it just really put a exclamation point behind everything that we've worked for and everything that we've tried for, where, you know, a lot of people complain that we're, you know, we're censor-heavy or this or that, and yeah. And, you know, one of our members, and God, I wish I didn't forget who it was. I think it was Grimm pointed out, or maybe One Man Short. Somebody pointed out that really the only censorship on ATS is behavioral.
Right. Yes. I think that was One Man Short.
I think it was too. And what a great observation that is. Sometimes it's hard for me to put into, you know, concise words exactly what it is that we do, but
usually
that's a beautiful expression of it. Yeah, it is. At least I can enunciate them.
Well, I blame Buffalo.
Yeah. Gotta blame somebody.
So, in my mind, there's, certainly the TV show is a huge thing for 2005 and ATS, but there's two, for me, I tend to be a fatalist, I guess. There's two things that are not necessarily on the positive side. One ended up having a gigantic positive attribute, but the other was when we noticed that Jeff Weiss was a member of Above Top Secret.
Oh God, yeah.
And that was, you know, the was it Minnesota? Was he from?
Yeah.
Yeah, the shooter in the event in Minnesota.
The high school.
And
deal.
That, you know, looking at his posts, I mean, again, hindsight and looking back in retrospect, you suddenly become so much more intelligent and you go, oh, yes, that's right. But at the time, you know, we look at ourselves and we look at what we said to this kid and wonder if there was anything we could have done that might have turned the tide differently for him. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion about that as we examined his discussions here and his involvement. And it turns out he wasn't on the board either. It was the day before or the morning of.
It was the morning of, yeah.
Right.
It was like hours before he basically shot up his family, his grandparents. And, you know, that raises an interesting question. I mean, really, is there anything we could have done or is there anything we should have done? And that's a hard thing to fathom, you know, being nothing more than pixels on a computer screen. I mean, you know, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's hard too, because in an online community, we often see a lot of people who are faking and just playing a game, a head game,
want attention.
With a character, just to create attention. So it is difficult. Mm-hmm. But certainly one event where we know it was. How it hit home was William Wonsack and the reoccurrence of his cancer.
Oh God, yeah.
And how is he doing? Is he still?
I spoke to him. Yeah, I spoke to him this afternoon. Spoke to him twice today, and he sounds great. Thank God.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, he actually went through last night with no fever. Hallelujah! First
right,
time.
That's awesome. Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
And it's just the trauma to the body. I think more so than any infection or anything like that. So,
right.
And his doctors are convinced of that as well. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, when Willie's cancer came back, that was an absolute downer. that was felt, I know, throughout the staff, and I'm sure a great percentage.
Sure was.
And,
but the as much of a negative as that was, we essentially saw the complete other end of the spectrum in how that pulled together the community for him. And just
no doubt
the amazing, and I said it in my skeptic overview, the amazing response that we got when I brought this stuff to him, the podcast and the printout of the thread, which was 62 pages, really showed the love and the respect and how everyone was pulling for him in a way that you just can't get any other way.
Nope. I mean, when Val Hall came up with the idea of Willie Palooza, I thought, my God, this is podcasting that's actually worth something.
Right.
And you summed it up great. You really did. My hat's off to you on this one, Bill. I mean, when you put the little blurb, the only podcast that's going to matter in 2006, that was it. I mean, that really does wrap it up in a nice bundle. I mean, you talk about people who have never met, who are nothing more than pixels on a screen. I know I keep saying that, but that's really what it boils down to. Well, you know what? We proved that a community can exist in the digital reality. I mean, there's no denying the outpouring of love and care and concern for another human being by other human beings that we watched happen on our site.
Yeah, it was inspiring and spectacular.
Yes.
I never expected it to that degree. And even still, as we're expecting him to return, you know, the number of spooky avatars. And if no one knows, is his little... is a Shih Tzu dog, right?
Yeah. One of the sweetest things that I heard through this whole deal, Willie's sister sent me a UTU and said, you know what, my daughter, Willie One Sack's niece, is having a blast going through the forum and finding spooky in avatars. Now, how wonderful is that?
Right. So
I mean, you can't buy that.
No, you can't. And that
you
really
can't fake it either.
That demonstrates what kind of community we have, where on one hand we can really dig in to these topics and have a heated debate and just throw mud at each other over some of the ideas, but then when it counts, we can really
That's
pull
right.
together and do
right.
something special.
It's like a real family, you know. I can tell anybody else that I think Skeptic Overlord is a dork. But if I ever heard anybody who's not an ATS family say the Skeptic Overlord was a dork, we're going to have a fight. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You dork.
I'm the devil.
The devil has come.
So,
but seriously, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, that's what stands out in my mind pretty much the most at this point about 2005. There's also been a lot of really great threads throughout the year. And certainly podcasting taking off in 2005 is also the big thing.
Well, I mean, are we not in the top 10 or top 5 sites for podcasting already? I mean,
Overall, I'm not sure. But if you look at the stats on FeedBurner, which is a very popular service for hosting podcasts, we are number 2. We're not hosted by FeedBurner, but if you compare us to the sites that are hosted by FeedBurner, we're number 2.
Yeah, looking at the numbers of the guys that they have compared to our numbers, we're number 2.
Correct.
Fabulous. So, fabulous.
There you go.
That's it.
Okay, so I guess I haven't kept track of the clock, so I don't know how long we're going here. Look at that, 44 minutes. We're going to kill these people.
God almighty.
Okay, we're going to go back down to 2 or 3 listeners with a length like that.
Yeah, it'd be you and me.
Well, you know, we might as well just call each other on the phone and say, hey, we're podcasting tonight. Okay.
There you go.
Or I could do that, and you would never know because no one
listens
anyway.
Right.
So exactly. That's it for how many of these have we done?
God, I don't know. It's got to be number 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't think it's that many. Anyway.
Yeah, 5.
That's
we'll
it
agree
for,
on 5.
Yeah, the latest 2 out of 3 amigos. We're going to try to get Bill Ryan from the Serpo into a podcast interview.
I think we can do that.
Yeah, there's a couple other interviews that are cooking in the background that were in various levels of success, so that at some point, when you see a 2 out of 3 Amigo podcast appear, it won't be just us two knuckleheads shouting at each other. There'll actually be somebody interesting, and our listenership will likely go up at that point.
God forbid.
So, all right, so I guess that's going to do it. Do you have any final closing comments?
Yeah, I mean, God bless you and thank you, members, for the Willie One Sound. I mean, and God bless Willie One Sound. Thank you, everybody, for the support and the care, and he's going to be great.
Yeah. All right, so good night, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.
Adios.